Let's ask for the Lord's help as we come to his word. And Father, we come now to your word. What a precious word it is. What a powerful word it is. Help us to humble ourselves before it, knowing that it is your word. Your word to us, we pray that we would have ears to hear, hearts to receive, that you would illumine our minds to understand, that you would embolden us to live, to walk in these things that we learn of today. Be glorified in and through your people. Bring many more worshipers to name the name of Christ and to proclaim your supremacy in this world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a little bit of a disclaimer here. So it is December 31st, and tomorrow is a new year. And as I was thinking about the text that we've been in 2 Timothy, there is a particular text that really stood out to me over the past few weeks, and I just wanted to spend a little bit more time on it. That text was 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As I thought about that, I recognized that there are some times when you're in the moment of crisis or when you're in the midst of turmoil that someone might say to you, and it doesn't matter whether they're Christian or not, they'll just say to you, be strong. Right? They'll just buck up, you know, pull your bootstraps up. You're not up. I'm not sure they know what they're saying, but they're saying something. They're trying to say something helpful, but it brings the question, what does that really mean? You're telling me to be strong. Is that just like swatting a fly so you don't have to think about it anymore? Is that just a cliche that's meant to, you know, say something to them, like I did what I was supposed to do. I followed social protocol and I said something nice to someone who's going through a struggle and I told them, be strong, you know? We have so many if you think about the number of ways in which this comes across, we had a whole man's career defined by a wrist bracelet that said, live strong. Well, live strong with some help, right? A particular regimen of, you know, steroids and anti-inflammatories and a number of other things that were illegal to the sport. We hear stay strong. We hear a lot of different things like that, and maybe you've heard someone say that to you. When they say that, does it mean, you know, you're supposed to go work out and be stronger and lift more, practice taekwondo so you can defend yourself? Or are they really just saying, you know, man up, don't be weak, don't whine, don't complain, you know, just be strong. But I just was thinking about this, and I think there's a whole brand, of course, and a slogan. It's more like just do it, you know, just take care of your life, be a man about it. It almost seems like a ridiculous statement because it's undefinable at the moment. You're not sure what you're supposed to do about it. You're not sure what you're supposed to say to that person, by the way, but then you walk away, and what do you have to hold on to? Be strong. Are you kidding? As though somehow you can just mysteriously, magically say, soul, be strong now. Whereas a moment ago, I was weak. Now I'm to be strong. It's an absurd thought to some degree, and because of that, I thought, because it may feel like an insurmountable task, that we ought to think about what that really means. And so here are some ways that we are to be strong as we begin to define it. We'll look to the scriptures to define it for us in just a moment, but we need to be strong, which could mean to flee temptation, right? We need to be strong, meaning to exercise self-control. In all manner of realms, whether work, play, drink, eat, we can make anything an idol. So when someone says be strong, we might want to think about, I wonder what might be overtaking me, what might have taken me captive or taken my affections. Or we might understand be strong as be diligent in spiritual disciplines. That's fair, right? Be strong. How? Well, we'll get to the hows later, but I think we might be talking about that. And I'm saying a lot of I think we, because we're going to see it more explicitly in the scripture in just a moment, but I want you to get your minds in the right place. Or we might say, be strong. Train those under you. Correct and reprove those under you. Don't capitulate and compromise as though you think that's the definition of love. Be strong. Or be strong. Stand in that trial that you're going through. Don't lose heart. Remember the promises of God. Be strong. It could mean to endure opposition. It could be that you are to endure the affliction that you're going through, the struggle, the strife, the pain. It could be just to maintain integrity. Be strong. Maintain integrity versus fear of man and worldliness. Could just mean to love the unlovely. Be strong. It could mean to sacrificially give. You know what? The point is, when someone says be strong, there's a lot that it could mean. And so we want to think about this biblically. We want to consider what it actually means. And I would say, I think you could agree with me that in the days that we live in, and just as the days then, but just so now, we need to be strong. There's a reality in this statement that is true. And so instead of just thinking, oh, they're just saying that as a cliche, I don't care why they said it. How about we listen to the fact that God has said it? And he has said it over and over and over. Yeah, that's right. Our God, through his word, has told us to be strong. And so it's not a small thing. It's not a little thing. It's an important thing. And so what I did is I just went through every passage where I could find that statement. And so this isn't my typical expositional, sermon today. But I went through every single passage where I could see be strong in some fashion, some form, so that I could understand the context and what we find there, so that we could better understand how to respond to it, how we ought to understand it, and what to do when God tells us to be strong, or maybe even a Christian brother or sister tells us to be strong, so we might receive it in the right way. Because remember, 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things. So don't assume the worst, that they're just saying it to placate you. Assume the best and know that at the very least, God could be speaking through them, and that takes you and me right back to his word. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some of these. I can't look at all of them, but we're going to answer the question, what does it mean to be strong? I gave you a lot of definitions, if you will, of what it means, a lot of circumstances of what it means to be strong. We'll look more specifically at a definition later, but that gives you a sense. But what we're going to do is in answering that question, hopefully see when are we to be strong. And if you're following along in your outline, you will see four different things that we'll look at. We're going to learn when to be strong. We're going to learn the why we should, very briefly, why we should be strong. It's very simple. But maybe most importantly, we're going to look at how to be strong. And finally, we're going to see some of the results of living strong in the Lord. There's a reason why we read Ephesians chapter 6, because it's a New Testament principle, though most of the revelation relating to be strong, the over 30 times that it's used, is in the Old Testament. And so we'll be spending some time in the Old Testament today, considering some Old Testament passages and thinking about what they mean. Again, if you want to, you can follow along in your notes and you'll have a place to at least have an outline and fill in some blanks there to help you out. And so let's take a look at these. The first thing we're going to look at is when do we need to be strong? When? And the first thing I want to do is start by reading Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I'm just going to read two verses. It kind of gets us into a when that we'll look at in just a moment. But listen to verse 5. In fact, I'll go all the way back to verse 1, and I'll read through verse 6. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. That's, they've already seen that. Then we get to verse 5 and 6. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And so what circumstances is this charge given? In what kind of situation do we find the charge given? Because we want to think about that. We want to think about the specific events. And it's true, let's get this out of the way, that we need to be strong always. Isn't that true? In the Lord, and we'll talk about that later. It's the sometimes the small moments that are most telling of our weakness. Sometimes it's those situations that are unexpected that we need strength the most, but there are specific situations that are in Scripture where this is used. I can't go through all of them, but I'm going to go through a few of the major ones. And so the first one that we're going to look at is that we need to be strong when facing a tremendous challenge. We need to be strong when facing a tremendous challenge. Again, our strength isn't supposed to be only reserved for dramatic situations, but oftentimes that's where it's exposed that we need it the most. We see it, we're aware of it, we're reminded of how weak we really are in those situations. A major task, a hurdle, is certainly a good cause for us to be strong, to need strength, and to seek for it. It's often those monumental events that require power, require God's might to confront. And what I just read to you is the beginning of Joshua and Israel facing such a challenge. You want to talk about tremendous challenges. Now, we know to God this is nothing, right? We know to God it is no major task. But to people who have heard bad news about that land, that they're to go and possess, and not only possess, but dispossess the people, and to basically go in and claim it as their own land, that's a pretty significant task that's laid before them. A land where they can't expect that people are just going to lay down before them and they're just going to walk through. And of course, there are some situations where we see something like that and others where we don't. That's what they're facing. They're facing what may seem like an impossible situation. And yet God calls them to dispossess this land. In the midst of the instructions given to Joshua, beginning here, and to the people, and then going into the book of Joshua as the new leader and military commander, there's an exhortation 7 or 8 times to be strong. 7 or 8 times. God knows you. He knows me. He knows our need. He knows the weakness of our human flesh. He knows our frailty. He knows that we could easily buckle under in those difficult situations. And so he gives this instruction, and we'll come back to this in a moment, but I'm going to read a little bit further. I've already read through verse 6, but let me continue on. Verse 6 says in Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Again, we'll come back to that. And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and he shall put them in possession of it. Verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Fast forwarding a little bit to verse 22. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. So they put some words to song, but I want you to read verse or listen to verse 23, and the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. We haven't gotten to Joshua yet, to the actual book of Joshua, where we'll see it again. But Joshua needed this. The people of God needed to hear this statement, be strong. And so when you hear someone say, be strong, particularly when it's the Lord, recognize that you need to be strong. And we'll get to the how in a little bit, but the when here is a tremendous challenge that's set before them. And I don't know about you, but if I heard 7-8 times, be strong, I think I probably would catch the hint. But then I probably lose that hint with all of the issues of life coming at me and forget that I need to be strong again and need to hear it again. That's why I keep reading our Bibles and why God is redundant. They were called to go dispossess the land, and it's a tremendous challenge. That's one challenge. We're going to come back to that, but I want you to just kind of picture that when, if you will, the call comes, the charge. And these are charges. The vast majority of them are imperatives. That means they're commands that the Lord is giving. The next one I want you to consider is Solomon was also faced with a tremendous challenge. Now, this is a different kind of challenge. Solomon was a man of peace. There was peace in the reign of Solomon, generally speaking, in terms of warring. He had nations coming to him and sitting at his feet. He had amazing relationships where he could get materials for what? Well, 1 Chronicles tells us, and so let me read 1 Chronicles chapter 28. His father David was about to die. I'm in 2 Chronicles. He was about to die, and in verse 20, then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And goes on to talk about divisions of priests and Levites and all the aspects of building the temple beyond just the materials and the intricate design and all the ornate aspect of it, the symbolic pictures in it. Solomon was tasked to build this house. I don't know about you, but just, you know, having a house built or even trying to buy a house or in this market trying to even rent a house can be an overwhelming challenge, let alone you are tasked with building a house for the Most High God, for the God of the universe, the one who is holy, holy, holy. And so it's no wonder that he has given, again, this instruction to be strong, and to be courageous, because he is tasked with what his father called him to do, what God had instructed him to do. And I think we can all imagine what a pressure that would be. David says, be strong. We ought to start thinking about these whens. We ought to start thinking about the challenges that we face in our lives. I'm not saying that you're tasked with building, you know, a house for God. No, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, individually and corporately as believers coming together in worship. You are that as you go. It's not defined by a building. It's the people of God. You're living stones being built into a spiritual house, offering spiritual worship. And you're not tasked with, you know, going in and dispossessing a land. But what challenges do you face? What molehills have you made into mountains, I say oftentimes, right? We have challenges that are before us, and the greatest challenges that we have are spiritual in nature. Staying true to the Word of God, keeping our integrity, walking in obedience to the Word of God, raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord instead of the ways of the world. Being aware of the idolatry that can so easily take hold of the heart. There are lots of challenges. Maybe you have a decision that's looming. Maybe you have a task that's before you that's large and you need to think through. Maybe you're facing a move and you know how difficult it is to find a good church. Maybe, as many of you are, You have parents that are getting older and you're faced with thinking about how to care for them best in a way that's honoring to the Lord, honoring your father and your mother, instead of following the ways of the world. And it can be a tremendous challenge. And so in these times, we learn it is particularly important for you to be strong. We also need to be strong. This is the second place where we see it. Again, I'm not going through all of them, but a few major areas. We also need to be strong when facing overwhelming odds. We need to be strong when facing overwhelming odds. Sometimes we just find ourselves in over our heads. Now, the reality is we should always feel in over our heads. But there are moments in our lives where that reality comes crashing down upon us like a ton of bricks. The world calls it anxiety. There's a paralysis that can come, and we just don't know what to do. We just want to scream and bang our head against the wall or go and hide in a corner or under a rock somewhere. I'm not trying to say every one of you is feeling that. I'm just saying there are times when life is overwhelming, and there's an overwhelming circumstance that faces the people of Israel. It seems insurmountable at first glance. And it's a time for one to be strong. And so, if you want to, you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 5 through 8. Hezekiah and the nation of Israel, or Judah in particular, not northern tribe of Israel, were faced with overwhelming odds. They had a horde of enemy soldiers outside their gates. Some were ready to come and attack. They had a commander who was mocking, who was boasting about what he was going to do at the behest of Sennacherib, who was the ruler of the Assyrian nation at that time. And so he was ready to make war. And we read in 2 Chronicles 32, 5 through 8, a little bit about this. Again, I can't go through all of it, but in 2 Chronicles 32, again, I'll start at verse 1. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem, he planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him. A great many people were gathered, and they stopped all the springs. This is what happens in a siege. And the brook that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" This is the trying to protect their precious resources. Verse 5, he set to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down, and he raised towers upon it and outside it, built another wall, and he strengthened the Millo in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance, and he set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together to him in the square at the city, the gate of the city, and spoke encouragingly to them, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him." I think he was reading the Pentateuch. What do you think? I think he was reading the first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy in particular. Maybe he was reading Joshua 2, which we'll see in a moment. But he goes on. He says, there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The reason why they took confidence is because he was speaking the words of the Lord, words that had been spoken to others in difficult situations. Here again, it is an overwhelming situation where the odds seem insurmountable. But what does he do? He exhorts Judah to be strong. And once again, you can imagine you're one of those people and your first reaction would be strong? What do you mean? There's 185,000 people out there. You translate that to Hebrew, you might get a feel for what was going on. But it's hard. It's hard when you see what's in front of you. When you see today right here, it's sometimes hard to see tomorrow. You see visually the odds, and they're enormous, and you can't see God visually. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so in the midst of overwhelming odds, the leader of the nation calls for everyone to be strong. He gives them reason, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And the amazing fact is that they were strengthened. It's not the exact word that's used, but that's essentially the point. They were encouraged. They were heartened. And that's a part of being strengthened. It's to be encouraged in the truth, to believe, to know, to have that sense of hope. That's a part of being strong. You know, it's interesting. We could give a lot of credit to Hezekiah, and he was a great leader. He had many faults, but he was a great leader in many ways, restoring so much of worship. Made a big error in his reign. And he was likely very inspirational. His name is a form of the root, be strong, by the way. And in fact, his name literally means strengthened or has strengthened. Interesting, huh? Because this is one of those moments in all of the Bible and the narrative that stands out in our memories because it's so significant in the overwhelming odds. There's a man that God, in his providence, appointed to represent him and to lead his people on his behalf. And his name is Be Strengthened. That's a God thing. I'll just equate it. It's not a coincidence. And we'll learn in a moment, we've already seen glimpses of this, where his strength came from, but when the odds were overwhelming, the need for strength is very apparent. It's very great. It's clear. And we again ask the question, are any of you here feeling like you're in over your head? Are you feeling at all like this is too big for you to handle? Oh, with the Lord would every day we wake up, feel that. I'm in over my head. But you are all wise and you are all powerful. I'm not. You are. Have you dug yourself into a hole that seems impossible to get out of? Are you in a relationship where there's tension and it seems impossible to reconcile and you don't know what to do? Maybe debt has gotten out of hand. We live in perilous times with our economy seeming to go not in a great direction, making everything harder. The stress is greater on the average home. Or maybe as a parent, you're dealing with struggles and you're wanting to see things in your home and in your children and you're not seeing them yet. And it just seems like I'm in over my head. Yes, you are. Or teenagers. So easy for teenagers to only see the present circumstance and have no concept of the future. And so there's a sense sometimes of hopelessness and despair and being stuck instead of blooming where you're planted and being content in all things. It could be a debilitating disease. It just seems like it's too much to overcome. You see, there are all manner of things that can seem overwhelming to us and that can invade our thoughts and take hold of our mind and make us feel so weak. Through his word, God calls you to be strong when the odds are stacked against you. The third place that I wanted to see this is, briefly, we also need to be strong when discouragement invades our spiritual life. When discouragement invades our spiritual life. We live in a fallen world. Things aren't going to go as you planned. Things aren't just going to fall into place all the time. There are wonderful times when that happens and we say, thank you, God. But we forget to say thank you to God when he brings the trial that's meant for our good. That exposes maybe an idolatrous heart or maybe a dependence on self or something that's coming between us and him. There are times when we can get down on ourselves spiritually, when things just don't go the way we wanted them to. And we can easily blame ourselves. And the reason why you blame yourself sometimes and why I blame myself is because we forget that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So we're on the wrong side because we are trusting in ourselves to do something to begin with. And when we didn't do the thing we thought we had the strength to do, we get mad at ourselves rather than realizing, wait, I wasn't trusting in the Lord. I wasn't resting in his word. I wasn't resting in his plan and his purpose. I didn't trust in his sovereign will in this. Instead, I wanted it this way and it didn't happen. And so I'm discouraged. We've taken a little bit of a reprieve in adult Sunday school. We're studying the book of Ezra. And in that book of Ezra, there's a remnant that returns to Israel after Babylonian captivity, and they begin to rebuild the temple. And there's a lot that goes on there. But one of the things that happens is they finish the foundation, and there's some rejoicing, and there's also some grieving. Those who had seen probably the glory of the Solomonic temple, they were grieving, or heard of it, they were grieving. They were discouraged because this didn't look like it was going to be anything close to the glory of the Solomonic temple. And then the enemy comes in the region, and they stop building altogether, and they're off, paneling their own houses, the text tells us. And then God speaks. He speaks through the prophet Haggai. And in Haggai chapter 2, we hear again these words. And so let me read that to you briefly. Haggai chapter 2. Listen to Haggai speak on behalf of the Lord to encourage them and strengthen them. And I'll start with verse 1. We'll go through verse 7. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel. He's the political leader, if you will, the son of Shealtiel. He's of the line of David, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say. So this is what Haggai is to say on behalf of the Lord. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. There it is again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. There's a word in the midst of what seems to be discouragement. And, one of the first things he says is work after be strong, but be strong. To each iteration, to the leaders, both political and spiritual, be strong. To the rest of the people, be strong, because there's a future that's coming. And brothers and sisters, God doesn't tell you be strong because tomorrow everything is going to be made right. The Lord tells you to be strong because there is coming a day. And in that day, all things will indeed be made right. And there are different theological interpretations about the glory of that temple. I won't get into that. But what I do know is that there is a house, a temple not made by human hands that we should all be looking forward to. That temple that Christ went through, if you will, to pay the redemption price for us. That place of glory. That residence of God our King. And so be strong in those circumstances of discouragement. When you feel rejected, be strong. When you feel and see opposition be strong. It can be discouraging. When you are slandered, be strong. When you are mocked, be strong. When it seems like the world is massively against you, be strong. When it seems like the institutions are falling apart, morality is on the steep decline, be strong. When you're tired, be strong. When you feel held down, be strong. These are all times where encouragement can come in. When it feels mundane and it feels like you're doing the same thing over and over and you're not seeing the fruit that you hope to see, just stick to God's word and his plan, not your own. Be strong in the midst of that discouragement, that he might lift you up. So there are many circumstances which call for us to be strong. Those are just a few in the scripture that have a lot of repetition with this idea of be strong. But some might ask, why should we be strong? What reason should we be strong? I think you heard it. There is a reason. It's a simple reason that's given. It's a part of how, we'll get to it, but it's a reason why every one of us should be strong. And it's this, it's that the Lord is with you. Did you hear that in so many of those expressions of be strong? The Lord is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The Lord is with you. To know that the God of the universe is with you as you walk on this earth in Christ is tremendously strengthening. It should add a spring to our step if we actually think about it, dwell upon it, and not live as though it's not true. Eight times the phrase, the Lord your God is with you, is used in the context of the exhortation, be strong. Four times the phrase, he will not leave you or forsake you, is used in all of those uses of be strong. Just so you can see that correlation, I think it's important for us to see that there's a reason why. God knows it, and that's why he says it. I'm with you. Be strong. If there's just one reason for us to be strong, that's it. Other times he, for example, will tell his people, like Hezekiah, he's got this, that he will take care of the enemy. He does that too. And as a believer who is following God's will, you have the power of the universe with you. You have promises that make the world pale in comparison. Two. So do not lose heart, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. Yes, outwardly you're wasting away. Inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let's get into how can we be strong. This is a third and probably the most important part of this. And so I think that's the ultimate question. What must be done? We can't just will it. We can't just say, okay, today I'm going to be strong. How? What do I do? What is it that I ought to do? And this is where we touched on this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and in the New Testament. When someone calls us to be strong, first of all, again, thinking definitionally here, it's a call to be firm. It's a call to be steadfast. It's a call to hold the course. It's a call to not turn to the right or to the left. It's a call to just not waver. It means to endure, to persevere. All these things are bound up in this little word, be strong. You're starting to get how pervasive this idea is. Even though we're just looking at the exact words, be strong, they're all over the scripture. How many times are we commanded to endure, to hold fast, to persevere over and over? And so this is a portal. It's like it gets us into that realm of realizing how we ought to live in the midst of a world that's hostile to everything that you stand for and everything that you are, everything that you believe and proclaim. The world hates it. So how can we be strong? Well, the key is to remember that this strength, as we began to see already, isn't from yourself. Right? Newsflash, it's not your strength. You and I don't have strength. We are given strength from our God. We depend on his power and his might. It's rooted in God. It's not self-produced, conjured up, you know, before the football game, you know, rah, 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 bang your head, bang my head, and I feel like I'm ready to go. Shout some things, usually some explicatives, and now I'm ready to go, you know, do battle. No. No, we're calling on the one who is omnipotent, against whom no man can stand. No power of the universe. That's the strength that we need. The one place where the phrase "be strong" is used, there's more than one place, but one particular place that struck me is used in the context of strengthen yourself, is it's used of a pagan nation, the Philistines, as they knew that the Ark of the Covenant was coming, I believe, and they knew, they heard the shouts, and it sounded scary, and they were frightened, but then they said, strengthen yourself. And that's not the kind of strength that we need. That's not the kind of strength that lasts. We need God's strength. True strength is found only in the one who is all-powerful. And that's why 2 Timothy 2:1 is so important. That strength that is found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where the command is. That's one of the commands of the New Testament. So, what are some ways that we can be strong? First, we can be strong by hearing and doing the word of God. Hearing and doing the word of God. I know, that just, I've heard it before, Pastor. You're going to tell me again, blah, 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 blah. No, God is telling you again, and he's telling you over and over and over in the scriptures. If you do the word, God gives strength. Listen to Deuteronomy 11, 8. And again, this is preparation for this tremendous challenge of going into this nation. And there's a reminder that comes right before it. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord that he did. So remember what he's done. But then verse 8, you shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess. Keep the commandment that you may be, commandments, that you may be strong. You mean if I, there's strength if I actually obey God's word? Yeah. That's what the text is telling you. Joshua is exhorted the same kind of thing in Joshua 1. We're dealing with the same issue, but now they're getting ready to enter in. And in Joshua chapter 1, we have a lot of repetition here, but again, listen to this. No man shall be able to, verse 5, chapter 1, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with you, or with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. So not only is it strong to not turn from the right to the left, it is a means by which you and I, as God's people, are strengthened. So do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There is this interwoven, like two different threads interwoven together, this call to be strong and the call to keep his commands and to meditate on his commands, verse 8, to study, to understand, to continue to memorize, to think through, to read. All of these things go hand in hand, the strength that's rooted in the call to be a student and a doer of the word. Five times in the exhortation to be strong, you will find admonishments to keep God's commandments. So in the word is found the truth of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the plan of God. And it transcends any circumstance that we will ever find ourselves in, ever. There's not one that it is insufficient for. remember that passage in Ephesians chapter 6? I won't read the whole thing again. You've read it. But I do want you to just consider a couple of things, and I'll read a portion of it. In Ephesians chapter 6, it begins with this exhortation. In verse 10, finally, be strong. But again, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might, his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It goes on, and we find that we're in this spiritual battle, and then we find later on that in order to put on the armor of God, it requires us to be people of the word. That's what all these images are of the armor. It's not just a mental exercise envisioning yourself with armor on. No, he says, verse 14, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. I mean, that which holds up your uniform, that which girds your loins, so to speak, is the truth. It is the center, if you will. And it goes on from there. You have your feet shod with the gospel and of course, the shield of faith, because the word is nothing if there is no faith to trust it, to believe, to act upon it. And of course, the only, as you know, the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is what will enable us to stand strong. It reveals that word, the source of joy. It protects from evil. It strengthens you by its truth. Let me just give you a quick, you know, illustration of that. If my back allows me to drive on Tuesday or even go, even though we do have GPS, so it makes this less difficult. We're not driving around like maps and, you know, doing that, we're pressing a button, but most of us actually like to see, okay, where is it taking us? It's taking us this direction. And so we examine, we look at the directions to get to the destination. We don't just get in our cars and say, yippee, let's go. We have the destination in mind. We have the instructions to get there. Yes, it's easier than it used to be. And there's not an app that's going to just download the scriptures into your brain. If you're looking for that, that's not going to happen. You can listen to it online, and that's a good thing, but you've got to study it. Just as much as it would be so foolish for us to get in the car and think, oh, we're going to get there if we just start driving somewhere. But yet, isn't that how people live, even as Christians? You just let life happen? There's no anticipation of where we're heading and why we're heading there? That's not a recipe for being strong. But when we know what we know, we know who God is, and when we know we're walking in his ways, then that burden has been shifted from our shoulders to his. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now we are walking in that, you know, spring in our step, because we know that whatever happens, the results are entrusted to him. I've moved it from my column, which I don't have the strength to bear, to his column. He is all powerful to handle, because I've done it in the way in which he's called me to. I have obeyed his commands. I haven't turned from the right or the left. And when I have sinned, I've repented of that sin, and I've seen his blessed mercy in that. Related to the fact that we can be strong in the word is we can be strong by trusting in God's promises. Once again, I'm going to say it. You don't have any power in the word of God if you're not believing it and trusting it. So we have to believe what it actually says, trust what it says, and seek to know the meaning. And by his grace, if you're in Christ, you've been born again, you have the Holy Spirit to teach you, and you have those that he's gifted to help as well. But you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. In Deuteronomy, we looked at this earlier in chapter 31. Listen to verse 3 through 5. God promised victory to Israel. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. That's a promise. Do you believe this very day that as you obey and live for the Lord, that he will only bring good your way? And even, Christian, as you veer off into sin, because there's still remaining sin and you fall into it. His disciplinary love is for our good, isn't it? It's to get us back on when we've gone to the left or to the right. We trust in that word, and that's what enables us to walk circumspectly and to walk boldly. What promises are you clinging to? Do you trust God to give you victory over sin? Are you resting in his promises of eternal life? Do you really believe that God will bless you and give you joy as you submit to him? Because as you trust in his word and his promises, he will strengthen you. And then we can be strong by crying out to God. To be firm and steadfast, we must be a praying people. We must be speaking to the God who has spoken to us. We listen really well, right? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But we also must speak to him and bring glory and honor and also our prayers to him. In 2 Chronicles 32:20, after calling the people to be strong, Hezekiah and Isaiah both, it says, cried out to heaven. They prayed. They depended upon the Lord. They set this overwhelming task, these odds before the Lord who is able. In the last part of Ephesians, we learned about the word, right? The armor of God. But it picks up in verse 17 after all that's expressed. And it says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. One of the ways that we are strong is by praying, speaking to our God on our behalf and on behalf of others, the body of Christ, and also praying for the salvation of those who are outside of Christ. But we have to recognize how important it is. We should not expect the power of God if we're not seeking it. We should not expect the power of God if we're not seeing our need for it. How can you be strong? It starts with being serious about your relationship with God. If you just go to church because it's something you're supposed to do and it makes you feel better about yourself because you've gone to church, you've missed it. You come because it's a desperate need. You need the word. You need the fellowship. You need to pray together with brothers and sisters because you love the body of Christ. And so be serious about your relationship with God. Commit yourself, we just saw, to his word. Cry out to him with words and heart and trust in all that he has promised. The last point I'll just say very briefly. You already know the results of heeding the call to be strong. The results of heeding the call to be strong is victory. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness. All of these things come as a result of heeding this call to be strong and unwavering. Joshua saw that victory as he led Israel into the promised land. Hezekiah and the people of Israel saw that victory as 185,000 enemy soldiers were wiped out by the angel of the Lord. You will see that victory. It doesn't mean it won't be painful at times, and there won't be struggles and travails and sickness and sorrow in this world. But we don't sorrow, we don't groan and grieve as the Gentiles, the unbelievers do, because we know where we're going and we know the destination is glorious and we know that along the way he's promised that he would be with us and never leave us or forsake us. Oh, we can be strong. It's all here in front of us. You trust it. Don't trust in your traditions. Don't trust in your ritual. No, trust in the Lord through his word and your relationship with him. The power of God is infinite and accessible. It is offered to every believer. It indwells every believer by the Holy Spirit. No challenge of yours stands a chance if you step into the strength of the Lord. The most impossible situations are nothing. They can't stand up to the power of God. So whether substance abuse, smoking, idolatry, damaged relationships that seem hopeless, career decisions, family crisis, nothing is so powerful that he cannot overcome it. And that exhortation is to be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now you know what it means. Now you know where to go for that strength. And now you're reminded what to do. Study to show yourself approved. Get on your knees, trust in his promises. And as you step forward in it, you'll have strength and victory. And we will need God's strength as we face 2024 and all that it holds for us, all that is in front of us. We need it for today, let alone the year to come. And for those of you who are outside of Christ, I just have to tell you, you have every reason to fear. You have every reason to be terrified, because just like I was before Christ, I was under his wrath, heading for hell. No hope without God in this world. You need what Christ has done. You need his atoning sacrifice. You need to trust in what he accomplished you could never accomplish. Oh, you want to see strength and yet meekness and mildness at the same time and love. You look to the cross and you see what he did for hateful enemies of his. He gave his life. Christ died for sinners, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ died for the ungodly, Romans chapter 5 says. And so turn from your sin, trust in what he accomplished at Calvary, because he satisfied the debt, paid the fine, settled your judgment if you trust in him, so that you will have eternal life in his abiding presence with you, and thereby the means of true strength. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to take it to heart. We don't want to live our Christian life by cliche Christianisms. There are many here that have learned how to say the right things and to keep you at a distance. Oh, I pray that we would draw near. The truth would indeed set those who are not in Christ, that the truth would set them free, the truth of this precious gospel. We need strength. We are weak. You are strong. And so we pray for it this very morning. We pray that you would go before us in this year, that we would set our sights on Christ and set our efforts towards living for the kingdom of God, of which we are citizens of. Bring those who are outside of Christ to him in true faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.